This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I am joined today by Alfredo Brown. He is the host of the Pretend GM Podcast, and he can be found on Twitter at Alfredo Brown GM. Alfredo, I got to ask you this right before we get into it, man. How are your playoff teams doing, and did you survive the chaos of Week 15?
You know what, Yates? It was looking a lot better before the week started. And I had a lot of hopes, you know, Scott Fishbowl, all my home leagues and all the leagues. I've joined way too many leagues this year.
Right.
But yeah, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady just picked a fantastic week to have his worst performance of his career. So yeah, I think that just killed me for the playoffs.
Yeah, man. I was talking about this with Pat and with Dan behind the scenes earlier today. I was like, it's not just me, right? Like the amount of players that completely busted is way more than normal, right? Like it is just ridiculous. And they busted in spectacular fashion. It wasn't like they had just downed games. Like they completely did nothing. Guys like Jamar Chase, Alvin Kamara. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So if you had Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, you are most likely moving on to round two of the fantasy football playoffs. But that is not what we are here to talk about. We are here to talk about the upcoming 2022 free agent class and continuing and wrapping up our series looking at some of these free agents. Before we get into that, I want to remind everyone that we have a giveaway going on courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. That is a Diontae Johnson signed jersey. All you have to do to enter into this giveaway is head over to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch this podcast over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Hit the subscribe button and that's it. That's all you have to do. Then go over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest, attach a screenshot of your subscription there to be entered. And if you are already subscribed to the YouTube channel, why wouldn't you enter into this giveaway to get a Diontae Johnson signed jersey? Again, that is courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. Let's kick it right into high gear here, man. Let's talk about some of the quarterbacks. And again, just like a typical free agent quarterback class, there's not one of those, like, you're not seeing a Tom Brady hit the free agent market here or anything like that this year. But there are some intriguing names as far as especially for Superflex formats. So let's talk about here someone who I have a ton of familiarity with as a Chicago Bears fan. That is Mitchell Trubisky. He is the backup currently in Buffalo, has not really seen a ton of playing time behind Josh Allen this year. But as we look at Matt Nagy, the question always was, is it Matt Nagy? Is it Mitchell Trubisky? I think we got our clarity. I think we know that it is Matt Nagy more than anything else. So I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to get a chance here to be a starter for another team, maybe as soon as this year. So when we look at Trubisky, What is his ideal landing spot from a fantasy football perspective in 2022?
So I think that Mitchell Trubisky, he's starting off this list of a bunch of kind of second, third chance quarterbacks that we're looking at here. I was thinking about it, and I love the idea of him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The Steelers are going to be, when you look at the teams that need quarterbacks, they're one of the top three teams in cap space when it comes to that. You know, you're looking at like Washington, maybe Denver, depending on what happens there. Realistically, the Steelers want to compete now. They're probably not going to draft a guy. Actually, if we weren't talking about free agents, I think they're more likely to go and trade for Jimmy Garoppolo than even sign a free agent.
Sure.
But you look at Trubisky and what he did, like you said, it wasn't all on him. You start to think a lot of it was Matt Nagy. Trubisky's actually one of the only free agent quarterbacks to make the playoffs. And in the year he did that, he was nearly a top 12 quarterback. And you even go back even further. You look, since 2018, he's had a better win percentage than Ben Roethlisberger in just eight less games. So it's not like comparing apples to oranges. It's pretty on par with each other. Especially with Trubisky, he's a little bit more mobile than the average quarterback, which you'll need that with that offensive line. He's still only 27 years old. You could see kind of a Tannehill-esque revival over there in Pittsburgh, and I really like that spot for him.
Yeah, I have, spoiler alert, I like it as well, because as I looked at some of the available situations here, Pittsburgh came to the top of the list for me as well. And you look at the infrastructure there, right? You've got the offensive line needs some work. I think no one's disputing that whatsoever. But guys like Deontay Johnson, again, that jersey giveaway courtesy of Pristine Auction, right? That you got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool for as many as, you know, on field and off the field boneheaded decisions that he makes and stuff like that. He's a very talented receiver. Pat Freiermuth up and coming. Najee Harris out of the backfield. There's some solid infrastructure there to be able to surround Mitchell Trubisky with some solid weapons. So you look at the experiment too with like Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins and like these other guys that they've tried to trot out here as Ben has missed some time, and it just hasn't worked. Like Mason Rudolph, we know who he is at this point. We know who Dwayne Haskins is, unfortunately, at this point. No amount of increased playing time is really going to change that. So I look at Trubisky as having the best opportunity to be able to step in there and be returned to relevance in fantasy football, as especially too because of his mobility. Like you mentioned, that can be something that's worth looking at acquiring in a dynasty league, especially in the super flex formats. Let's move on here to a guy that we talked about, rushing ability, mobility. He's got plenty of it. The throwing ability, not as much. Cam Newton here, with Carolina, he has scored a rushing touchdown in each of his five starts here with Carolina in his second stint with the team. But the passing is just not great, man. So let's look at Cam. Is there a spot as we look across the NFL where he could end up as a starter in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I love Cam early on in his career, and he was so much fun. And now I'm kind of seen as the Cam hater. But just like you said, the arm's just not there anymore, man. It's shot. You look at one team in particular, though, the Buffalo Bills. GM Brandon Bean, head coach Sean McDermott, they were with Cam in Carolina. So there's a familiarity factor there, and that comes into play a lot with the quarterback position. You also look at their current quarterback, Josh Allen. He was compared a lot to Cam in the 2018 draft, a guy who maybe had some accuracy issues, big, could run, all that. Both these guys have started out their careers the same way. Josh Allen rushing for a lot of touchdowns, 29 touchdowns since he came into the league. Cam similarly did the same thing in his first 4 years, 33 rushing touchdowns. We saw what happened to Cam. He started to break down. I'm thinking the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean, they kind of learned their lesson. They don't want to run Josh Allen into the ground. Imagine some sort of a cool goal line set where they can have both of those guys out on the field.
Right.
I mean, you could preserve Josh. You get the kind of like Loki variant type Josh Allen out there in Cam there Newton, go. Who can just, you know, crush it on the goal line. I think it's going to give defenses fits.
I think so, too. And as we look at Cam, you know, like, is there any way that he could revitalize his fantasy football career and stuff like that, and relevance and stuff like that? And he's had in Superflex leagues, like, he is still someone that you can trot out there as if you're desperate. Even though it hasn't looked great, he's still producing from a fantasy perspective. As we look across the landscape moving into 2022, I really just don't see a spot where someone's going to look at what Cam has put out on tape here and say, yes, I want him to be my starting quarterback. So he's got to end up as a backup somewhere. And again, that's kind of what the rest of this list is, right? These backup quarterbacks, maybe they can be a spot starter here or there. So for me, I'm going to go with Baltimore. Now, we just watched Tyler Huntley step in this past week and put up a dominant fantasy performance. He looked great, kept the offense on schedule. I think he could potentially end up somewhere else this offseason. So if we look at that, saying that, you know, with Cam Newton, we put him in here as the backup, you get him involved in goal line opportunities there, someone that can step in and execute a very similar style offense in Baltimore. That's kind of what I was thinking there with Cam. But otherwise, someone that probably going to be on the downward trajectory of his career as if he wasn't already. Let's move on to Teddy Bridgewater, someone who has stepped in and has performed okay, has kept the Denver Broncos offense afloat here this season. But as far as a fantasy asset, man, just not really one of the guys that's willing to take shots deep downfield. Even as we look at Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, you know, his receiving weapons that he's got in this offense, he's really not able to take advantage of it. So is it Denver or is it somewhere else that we could see Teddy Bridgewater still be a viable fantasy asset?
Yates, like you said, he's been okay. I think Denver could be a really good spot for him to stay, or well, good, not really good spot for him right to stay. I think they're more likely to end up with Aaron Rodgers over there. I almost talked about the Texans for Teddy, but I can't in good conscience say any quarterback going to the Texans would be good. Right. It just felt like a boring quarterback, pair him with that boring team, and it almost made too much sense here. He's worked with the offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. So Teddy Bridgewater going to the Washington football team. You kind of look at this team and they're kind of right in no man's land, right? They're not doing poorly enough to get that young, good quarterback. And they're not doing well enough that they are tied to Taylor Heinicke, especially with his current contract situation. So a guy that can just kind of be steady, move the ball downfield, it's going to not only help Teddy to have, once again, another spot with good weapons and familiarity, which is so big with the quarterback position, but he's going to help those other guys like Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, and really whoever's end up playing the tight end position next year, and opposite of Terry McLaurin as well. He's only been marginally better than Heinicke, but he's throwing a lot less interceptions. He's someone that can kind of keep the offense on the field instead of having so much chaos every time the offense is out there.
That really makes a ton of sense because with Heinicke, he's been able to step in and he's been able to perform admirably for who he is, right? But I think with Teddy, you look at the offensive structure that Ron Rivera wants to, or even the overall structure, right, is win with very, very solid defense. And that defense took a major step backwards this year, but it's still littered with talent. So you have the ability to be able to, as long as you can keep the offense moving, you rely on your run game. You have Antonio Gibson truly take off next year. You know, these kind of things with Teddy Bridgewater stepping in, that's someone who could still be a low-end QB2 in Superflex format, someone who could still provide value for me. I look at him as a backup quarterback heading into next year. So Washington, I think, is one of those last spots that we could say he could be that spot starter. Otherwise, for me, I have him being the backup quarterback in Jacksonville, right? Being one of these guys that is going to step in, be a veteran mentor for Trevor Lawrence, who needs to get back on track. So I look at that kind of situation for Teddy Bridgewater. Washington really is the only spot that I can say, yeah, I think he would still have fantasy relevance. Outside of that, it's very difficult to see where he could end up being a starter, especially as we look at so many rookie quarterbacks coming into the 2022 NFL draft. Let's move on here. Two more names at the quarterback position that we need to touch on. One of them is Marcus Mariota. We've seen him as the backup quarterback here in Las Vegas over the past couple of years. When he stepped in, he's shown that he still has the flashes for fantasy football. Now, as far as what he can do over the course of an entire game, that's a whole other question because we really haven't seen that. So Marcus Mariota, is this a, what number chance is this for him? Like third chance, yeah. Fourth chance? Do we have him signing anywhere that would be good for fantasy football?
Yeah, just send Marcus Mariota right back to Oregon. He can start all over.
Right, there you go.
No, but so I have him going to the Miami Dolphins, okay? And it's just right now what the Dolphins are doing, it's so difficult. They basically have two playbooks. And, you know, when Tua went out, they went to kind of a whole new playbook with Jacoby Brissett, and it wasn't that RPO. It was very different. And, you know, that's so hard for a team to have to go back and forth that they get no stability. Marcus Mariota has made a living off of that RPO and doing pretty well with it. He and Tua have some pretty similar skill sets. I think Mariota is much more athletic. But, you know, Jacoby Brissett's going to be a free agent. Mariota makes a lot of sense to come in there as a backup. And if Tua misses any time, like you said, Yates, I mean, Mariota hasn't proven he can do it over a long span. But, you know, if he has to go in there and fill in for three or four games, he could absolutely have some fantasy relevance, win games, give you that rushing upside. It could be a lot of fun seeing him in a good old college style RPO in Miami.
That's a really interesting angle, one that I hadn't thought about, because you're absolutely correct where Miami is running so much RPO under Tua Tagovailoa, and he's able to execute it very, very well. But when you do not have the quarterbacks who are used to that, Marcus Mariota is. And that's a perfect example. I really like that angle of it. For me, I'm going to go with a situation here with Matt Ryan as the starting quarterback in Atlanta. Now, he's starting to come up on the end of his career. I still think that he has some juice left in the tank, where if you surround him with enough solid receiving weapons, he can still be a viable NFL starter. But for me, I look at adding competition at that position. And Marcus Mariota, being a backup quarterback over the past couple of years, is really not going to cost you a ton of money. So I look at Atlanta, who's a little bit strapped on cash for next year. I think that they can look at Marcus Mariota, bring him in for cheap and have him compete for that job, right? And if Mariota can win out, then great. You know, as a dynasty manager, you took a shot on Marcus Mariota off of your waiver wire in super flex formats, right? Like, he is barely rostered. You're able to get him and have him compete for that starting job with guys like Kyle Pitts, with his rushing mobility, you know, Calvin Ridley hopefully back. Like, there are other options in this offense that I think could provide Mariota with some top 24 upside. The final guy here, Jameis Winston. This one's pretty easy for us to just be able to say. I think we both got the same spot. This is New Orleans, right? Like, we look at Jameis, the Jameis Winston experience in Tampa Bay really didn't end up the way that Bruce Arians wanted. He ends up in New Orleans over the past couple years, and we saw he was able to provide some value here. Now, if New Orleans can surround him with some receiving weapons heading into 2022, I think that he could be a viable option for fantasy next year. But anything else to add there with New Orleans and Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it was his most accurate and efficient season. The Saints were 5-2 with him. You got to give him a chance. It's almost going to be kind of a last man standing thing. Nobody is going to give big money to a quarterback coming off an ACL injury, and they have less money than I do at this point towards the right. cap. So, like, they're going to be kind of stuck with Jameis, and that's just how it's going to be.
Yep, 100%. All right, let's move on to the tight ends here, and there's some really interesting names, especially as we look at that draft class from, what is this, 2017 now? Crazy that this draft class of 2017, we're already coming up on the end of their rookie deals, but some really interesting names here. Let's kick it off with O.J. Howard, has kind of served as the backup tight end here. He's been given opportunities to prove that he can step into a lead role, and it hasn't really happened here in Tampa Bay. Kind of developing later on in his career, first round pick, really just has not happened here. Playing behind Rob Gronkowski, do we have him returning to Tampa Bay next year, or do we have him ending up somewhere else that could be a viable starting opportunity for him?
So when I think of O.J. Howard, I remember back to his initial, you know, prospect profile, how much fun he was. Like, we forget he's 6'6", 250 pounds. My dude ran a 4.5. Like, he was just a freak. Yep. People were talking about him being like another kind of Vernon. He was Kyle Pitts before Kyle Pitts at the time. Kind of, you know, I love the idea of him going to the Indianapolis Colts. Both Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox are going to be free agents. That just leaves Kylan Granson behind, who I like as well. But, you know, Granson is totally different. He's a little bit smaller, more compact. And Carson Wentz loves those tight ends. They can kind of recreate that old Zach Ertz, Trey Burton combo that they had in Philly a few years ago. And that works so well for Carson Wentz. So OJ Howard, he's not that far removed from being somewhat productive. Okay. In 2018, he was a tight end 6 on a points per game basis. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be in an offense that's moving the ball. And I think that if he can stay healthy, being in an offense like Indianapolis, that can help him a lot.
Let me ask you this with OJ Howard, because he is coming up on this, you know, free agency, and he could end up in a spot like Indianapolis or the spot that I'm going to talk about here where he could be absolutely fantasy relevant yet again. And no one is thinking about OJ Howard if you even are still rostering him in your dynasty league. So as we look at potentially trying to get ahead of the curve, which is what we try to do here on this in Dynasty, on this Dynasty podcast. So as you look at OJ Howard, what kind of draft pick capital would you be looking to maybe sneak away OJ Howard from another roster? Is it a fourth round pick? Do you think that gets the job done up to a third round pick? Where are you kind of falling with what it would be worth to acquire OJ Howard at this point?
I mean, I kind of always look at draft picks almost like a cryptocurrency. It's worth what the other person thinks it's worth.
Sure.
We don't have an exact value to it. So depending on your league, how many rounds, all that. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You just throw a fourth round pick at someone, which really at that point in rookie drafts isn't much of anything.
Right.
Someone who doesn't really pay attention all that much in your league, doesn't realize OJ Howard's going to be a free agent. You could easily get him. I think the most I would do is like a mid third if I'm super desperate at tight end. And I really believe in an OJ Howard, but that's probably my ceiling on the price.
For me, one of the interesting landing spots last year as we looked at free agency and even into the draft was Jacksonville. They had a need at the tight end position. Urban Meyer tried to solve it with Tim Tebow. We know how that ended. So I am not going to have the Jacksonville Jaguars going with Tim Tebow. I'm going to have them going here with OJ Howard as his landing spot here, where we look at surrounding Trevor Lawrence with the weapons that he needs. And he's got solid weapons. They just don't know how to use them, apparently. Now, with the new coaching staff, hopefully we start to see LaVisca Chenault get involved. Travis Etienne coming into the NFL after missing all of his rookie season. You got James Robinson, Marvin Jones still in town. Like, there are still some very, very solid receiving weapons here. But to be able to add someone like the size, speed, athletic freak that OJ Howard is, I think that that has a ton of value here for Jacksonville. And again, you're not like, that's a cheap contract, right? You sign him to a 1 to 2 year deal. It's not going to take a ton to sign him, but he, that absolutely could be a spot where we see his fantasy value skyrocket, just like Indianapolis. Let's move on to a guy who had a great 2018 season, and then since then has just kind of been a massive disappointment. That's Evan Engram. So Engram here, where do you have him landing in 2022?
Yeah, he's been really up and down throughout his career, and I think that's so, it's been so weird because he's been a target hog, but then not really producing all that much, and then he's not getting a lot of touchdowns because it's the New York Giants. So I've got him going to the Cincinnati Bengals, where I think he can be in a little bit less of a high pressure situation. It's not, you know, the bright lights of the Big Apple and all that jazz that goes with it. You just imagine the Bengals rolling out an offense for Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and then you got Evan Engram just kind of running around in the middle. It's a clear upgrade over a guy like CJ Uzama. You let Drew Sample be the blocking guy. You know, Engram's just never really had that touchdown production, and that's what's really held him back, at least not since like his rookie year. He was still tight end 14 with one touchdown back in 2020. So you start to give him that production, and the guy can, he has the athletic ability. He's got to put it all together. I think a change of scenery could be really good for him. There's certain guys that just need that change of scenery.
The change of scenery is the key word there, right? With Evan Engram, like he just needs to get out of New York, and yeah, it just hasn't happened here with the Giants. You had Jason Garrett kind of limiting him and putting him into the Jason Witten type role, and that's just not what he needs to be utilized as. So hopefully we start to see Engram fall into a better spot. The Bengals is really intriguing because of how high powered that offense is. I'm not going to go with it as high powered of an offense, that's for sure, but there is an opportunity, a very similar like Jacksonville last year, where we said they've got a need at the tight end position. The New York Jets still have a need at the tight end position. They're rolling with Tyler Kroft out there, and you know, this is a spot where Evan Engram could still step in, see plenty of targets, try to do everything that you can to give Zach Wilson the infrastructure that he needs. I think Engram could still be a viable fantasy asset at that point. I don't know if anywhere that he ends up, he's going to instantly be a top 15 guy as far as production, but could be borderline on that either in Cincinnati or New York with the Jets. So have him staying right in there in East Rutherford, but going to the other side there. So let's go with David Njoku. Again, just athletic guys in this upcoming class here. So David Njoku, where do you have him landing that could be a good spot for him outside of Cleveland?
So this one, I wanted to get a little creative. I just thought of like a really fun place. We all want, I feel like every single person that plays fantasy football wants to see David Njoku do well. Like, we're tired of him just being a backup. We want to throw him into a good role. You mentioned the Jets. I'm going with the Jets for David Njoku. I think that the offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur, like, he had an opportunity to work with George Kittle in San Francisco. Yep. He could put Njoku into that role. They're dying to get a good tight end in New York. Like you said, they're rolling out Tyler Kroft and Ryan Griffin and all these guys that are journeymen. I think David Njoku gives kind of that athletic prowess that those other guys don't. Zach Wilson loves a tight end. He used it so much at BYU. That was the position he targeted the most, threw the most touchdowns to. So you get him a good one, and I think that's going to give him that security blanket in the NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the connection with Mike LaFleur and that George Kittle connection. Now, we're not going to say that David Njoku is immediately
not quite,
you know, producing like George Kittle, but there is that opportunity, that is that role, which is why it was so confusing to me why they didn't prioritize that role in the offseason and really, you know, they just move forward with the guys that you mentioned there. So for David Njoku, I'm going to go with the Colts, and it's kind of the same thing with OJ Howard that you mentioned. Like, there is a role here with guys like Jack Doyle. Like, hasn't gotten the job done. We know who he is at this point. Mo Alie Cox is not ready to be this like locked in starter in an offense. So if you can look at surrounding Carson Wentz, because he's got like Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor, and it's worked so far for this year, like, don't get me wrong, but go into next year and really, really build around him, give him the weapons that he needs. So I think David Njoku as a starter in Indianapolis would be someone that would push that top 15 territory and someone who could revitalize his career after being, yeah, just a backup here in Cleveland. He's been rumored as far as trades, a trade candidate for the longest time. Let's actually see it happen. Let's see him end up in somewhere like Indianapolis or the New York Jets. Mike Gesicki here. This one's pretty simple. I think Gesicki has just done a really good job here in Miami to just continue to be a big, big slot guy, a solid receiving weapon for Tua Tagovailoa. So do you have him staying here in Miami or potentially ending up somewhere else?
Yeah, I have him staying here in Miami. And if you look over my shoulder, there's absolutely no bias to this answer whatsoever. I swear I'm not a Miami Dolphins fan at all. Now, listen, it took him a little while to get his legs under him. For the first couple of years, he was kind of like Bambi on ice. Like, Mike Gesicki couldn't, like, he didn't really know what he was doing running his routes. I think this fit with Tua and the RPO and him being able to run after the catch and just make some quick movements and be the big slot guy like you're talking about, Yates, I think that has helped him so much. He's had back-to-back top seven tight end seasons, or at least that's where he is right now. Miami's going to be number two in cap space, and I think that he is going to be a major priority for them to re-sign. I can't imagine anyone else that's going to be able to offer more money, no state income tax, a better location to live. It just seems like a perfect match for each other.
Yeah, I think Mike Gesicki staying in Miami just makes a ton of sense, right? You know, we know what he is as far as from a fantasy perspective. He's a borderline top 10 guy. Like, I think that him ending up anywhere else, like, sure, he could end up in, you know, Jacksonville or New York, but that's a gamble, right? From a fantasy perspective, from a dynasty perspective, with Miami, we know what he is, and we know that he can be productive. The consistency might not always be there from a fantasy perspective, right? But as we look at another year with Tua acclimated to this offense, we can only see it continue to progress and develop. So Gesicki should benefit from that. I have him staying in Miami as well. Another guy here who was just a breakout star in 2020, Robert Tonyan, the tight end for the Green Bay Packers, and then got injured here in 2021, really was not producing at all. Was a touchdown machine in 2020, and then that absolutely just came crashing down here in 2021. So where do we have him ending up that, you know, could lead to somewhat fantasy production? Is there really any of these other spots, or is he just kind of destined for a backup role, someone we're not really considering from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, kind of like how we did with Jameis. You know, he's 27 years old, coming off an ACL injury. He's been very touchdown dependent throughout his career. Doesn't have a long history of production. I don't see a team that's like, you know what, man, here's some money. Come play for us. Like, he's going to stay in Green Bay. He'll probably just keep working with Jordan Love. And I don't know what necessarily makes him a viable fantasy tight end, but I think that's his best situation to have any sort of relevance in fantasy.
Right. You mentioned it, like there's really no place that he's going to be able to go that they're going to hand him a big contract and be the guy in the offense. So I have him staying in Green Bay as well. Pretty simple there as far as Robert Tonyan. Even if we have Aaron Rodgers move on, like, I just still think him staying in Green Bay, we know that he's liked there and we know that he has a role. Let's go with Dalton Schultz here. Someone who there was a lot of conversation at the beginning of the season. Is it going to be Blake Jarwin? Is it going to be Dalton Schultz? And we didn't have that clarity for the first few weeks of the season. Then Schultz kind of really emerged. His production has been, you know, has been up and down here so far this season, but has proven that he can be a reliable receiving option. Does Dallas have the cap space to be able to keep him here in town, though, or does he end up somewhere else from a fantasy perspective?
All right, so this was probably the name I was most excited about talking about. I love Dalton Schultz. It's just like your boy Ray Garvin. Yep. I love me some Dalton Schultz, man. Like, I just, when it comes to tight ends, that's something I used to scout all the time. And, you know, I love tight ends that can block. It keeps them on the field and it makes them an integral part of the offense. And that's what he can do. So for him being able to do that, I don't think the Cowboys are going to have enough money to hold on to him. And I think that some other team, a nice fancy team like the Los Angeles Chargers, who have the third most cap space, they're going to throw some money around, maybe go and get themselves a tight end. I mean, they've got the ghost of Jared Cook and then you know, Donald Parham, who, like, I'm glad to see he's doing well. Seriously. He updated us, man. That was such a scary thing. But I think the Chargers are going to look to go in a different direction at the tight end spot. And Dalton Schultz, I don't want to say he's exactly like Hunter Henry, but I think he's the closest that they can get to of a guy that can kind of do it all. And I think Justin Herbert's missing that a little bit this year when the offense gets stagnant.
I think so, too. I think that's a dream landing spot as far as Dalton Schultz ending up in Los Angeles, because we've seen Jared Cook. I mean, even in recent memory, right, with him on Thursday Night Football dropping that wide open touchdown pass. Like, you just need consistency at that position to be able to keep things moving. There's an opening there for that solid, reliable receiving threat over the middle of the field. And that's what Dalton Schultz brings. So I think that is a very, very good landing spot. I'm going to go with a different one just for the sake of conversation here. I'm going to go with Tennessee. And we saw that Tennessee needs this. It's still an offense that is so predicated around having a very, very solid tight end. We saw Jonnu Smith obviously put together a very solid season in 2020. They've been rolling out like Jeff Swaim, Anthony Firkser, and it just has not happened. Michael Pruitt, these guys this year have not been what we need in Tennessee. And Ryan Tannehill is desperately needing some reliable receiving options. So I look at Dalton Schultz here filling a huge void for a team with the Titans. And I think that could lead to a ton of fantasy production outside of the Chargers. I think the Chargers, that's going to be my question to you. If he does land up, in LA with the Chargers, where are we viewing him from a dynasty perspective? Is he a top 10 guy? Like, is he a top five? Like, where's that range where we fall with Dalton Schultz as a Charger?
I can't say he'd be a top five guy. That's a little rich for my blood, but top 10 seems very, very reasonable for him. I think that he's if he's in Los Angeles, I think he's very close to that kind of Mike Gesicki range where they're going to be.
Yep.
That like tight end 6 through 10 is all super interchangeable, and I think that's where he is.
Yep, I would agree. All right, two final guys here, Hayden Hurst and Mo Alie-Cox. We talked about Mo Alie-Cox earlier, saying like he can be this big, you know, physical presence in the red zone. He can go up and high point the football, but as far as a well-rounded and consistent tight end, probably not his game. And then Hayden Hurst has been the backup guy here in Los Angeles, in Atlanta over the past couple of years. So where do we have Hayden Hurst and Mo Alie-Cox landing respectively? I'll let you hit them both at once.
Yeah, so you and I kind of flip-flopped these last two players with Dalton Schultz and Hayden Hurst. I've got Hayden Hurst going to the Tennessee Titans for basically all the reasons you mentioned. I just think that scheme-wise, he's a better fit. He kind of does a lot of those same things that Jonnu Smith did. He's a good move tight end that can line up in the backfield, go in motion a lot, and this is a lot of the same stuff that made him a good prospect coming out of South Carolina, even though he was like a 36-year-old rookie. He had such a very specific skill set, and I mean, this kind of player is what helps Ryan Tannehill play well. You even saw it in Miami with Charles Clay. So I think that Hayden Hurst going to Tennessee would be a really good spot for him. And then for Mo Alie-Cox, I have him going to the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll loves big tight ends, and it literally does not get bigger than Mo Alie-Cox. Right. He's a giant. Will Disley and Gerald Everett are going to be free agents. Maybe one of them stays, maybe neither of them stay. But I think that, you know, we never really see a very dominant tight end out there in Seattle anyways. And I think that he would be a kind of a good guy to ride alongside another tight end, maybe take a little bit of that red zone pressure off of DK Metcalf. And the Seahawks really don't go out and spend big on offensive playmakers like that. Yeah. So this kind of made the most sense for me. And I think this will give him sort of his best production.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, with Hayden Hurst, I will go with the Los Angeles Chargers here. Again, I would put Dalton Schultz there. Just wanted to mix it up a little bit. But I do think that for Hayden Hurst, if they didn't want to go with Dalton Schultz, who I do think is going to cost them a little bit here, they wanted to go with that lower tier guy, not pay as much, Hayden Hurst could be a guy who steps in and still can be a very relevant and reliable receiving option. And then Mo Alie-Cox, I'm going to go with the Houston Texans here as a guy that I think if we look at what Houston has been able to witness Mo Alie-Cox do in that division over the past couple of years, I think that to be able to build around Davis Mills, try to give him some reliable receiving options. We've seen, you know, Farrell Brown and Jordan Akins and, you know, Brevin Jordan. Like, you got Brevin Jordan who can be that move tight end. Let's get Mo Alie-Cox who can be the red zone presence there. But really, anywhere that Mo Alie-Cox ends up, I don't think that he's going to crack the top 24 of dynasty tight end rankings, unless he just walks into a dream situation that we are not anticipating. He gets way more money in free agency than we think he is. I really just don't see that happening. All right, that will wrap up the conversation here for the 2022 free agents with quarterbacks and tight ends, and wrapping up the entire series as we looked at running backs, wide receivers, and breaking all of those dream landing spots down. Alfredo, I want to thank you, man, for coming on, taking some time out of your day. Why don't you let everyone know what you've got going on over there at the Pretend GM podcast?
Yeah, well, first of all, Yates, thank you for having me on. This is awesome. Love Fantasy Pros. Love your show. So over at the Pretend GM, man, we have this really cool series going on. We're talking about dynasty player values, looking at specific guys. And right now we've been looking at the IR players, guys that have been stashed on IR for a while. We just did the running backs. We're moving on to wide receivers, and we'll go to quarterbacks, tight ends, position group, you know, so as we go. Cool thing is my co-host, he's a doctor. And so it's great to talk to him about the injury stuff. I'm a former scout, you know, college scout. So I really loved going into the offseason. That's what dynasty, like, that's when it's the most fun, is going in and scouting. There's so much hope. It's kind of like being a Dolphins fan. There's a lot of hope in that offseason.
Hey, I'm the Bears fan, man. I get it.
And then you get to that season and it just crushes your soul. But yeah, man. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up in the offseason.
Absolutely. Reminder that you can get entered for that Diontae Johnson signed jersey giveaway by going over to youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribing to the YouTube channel, then going over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest and attach a screenshot of your YouTube subscription to be entered. Again, that's a Diontae Johnson signed jersey giveaway, courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. Stay tuned. We've got a couple of fantastic episodes queued up here coming up as we gear up into the off season. For Alfredo Brown, I'm Kyle Yates. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.